That should be a daily prayer for us, right? The Word and the Spirit working together in us, producing the life, the character, the nature of the Lord in us, being transformed from glory to glory, from faith to faith. It's not something that we achieve, it's something we receive by faith. And folks, it's all by grace, all by grace. Whenever we get that wrong, we get into the wrong department, we get into trouble. And we basically fall from grace. And so, as you know, grace has responsibility. Grace, understanding God's grace, means that I understand God's heart too. Because Jesus came to reveal the Father's heart. They were used to having the Logos and the Word, and the Pharisees were teachers of the law, but Jesus came to reveal the Father's heart. And so we've got to know the heart of God, or we're in trouble, or we're still in death, because there's only life in Christ. And that was the whole plan of God, that Christ would dwell in us, that Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And so begins the transformation process in my mind as I have been born into this world with a slave mentality. God has to deliver us from ourselves and our own thinking, you know. The renewing of the mind in Romans 12. So who we are needs to line up with our thoughts. And our thoughts need to line up with who we are. So my thinking is stinking until I get the mind of Christ and I begin to understand His thoughts, His ways. And so it's in His heart where we have a revelation of who He really is. And by the Spirit, it's not something that you can learn, because remember, you can't learn God. He has to be revealed, and He's revealed by His Spirit to us. And it's the Spirit that searches the deep things of God, right, and reveals them to us. And so we commune with God in our spirit. It's spirit to spirit. And that's where the life is. But then we have this other part of us that's warring, and that wants to go its own way. And so God wants us to be free, really, from ourselves. Because repentance is changing the way that we think. And is turning away from ourselves. It's no longer trusting and relying upon myself, but on Christ alone. And in that place where I'm in dependence with a known sense of my need of God, where the grace of God is rich in my life. But when I get back into the old, into the Adam, and I begin to dwell there, and my thoughts begin to wander, then I begin to get back into the bondage, you know, again. And there's no life and peace in me. Like Paul said, there's no good thing that is in my flesh. So our life is found in Christ. And it's about, God wants to bring His people into rest in Him, where we cease from our struggling, and where we're fully trusting in His grace. Again, it's always got to be about the grace of God, the ability of God, the power of God, and not my own wisdom, not my own cleverness, not my own ability to speak or to teach or to do anything. Because we can do a lot of things for God and yet not be walking with God. We can get busy working for God, but not be walking with God. And that's what the Lord told us to do. He says, you guys are stressed out. You're trying to perform. You're trying to work. He says, yoke together with me. Come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden. Yoke together with me. We will walk this thing out together. You're never going to be alone. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. We'll do this thing together. There'll be times when you feel like I'm not there. And man, those are the times when He's pulling. We're probably dragging along, but He's very much devoted to us. He loves us with an everlasting love. And so He's teaching us how to walk. And after a while, the weaker oxen will begin to catch up and be able to walk in stride with a stronger ox. And then they're in harmony and they enter into this place of stride called rest. Amen. We're just doing this thing together. And I'm just not out there on my own trying to achieve or to work for or to strive to reach some type of level of spirituality or whatever it might be. But it's simply me entering into the finished work of Christ by faith and saying, Jesus, only in you is there hope. Only in you is salvation. Where else could I go but to you? And God allows us to fail, doesn't he? He allows us to fail like he did Peter over and over again until finally we come to the end. And we're just like, God, okay, I've tried even doing for you in myself, in my power, my strength, my wisdom, my willpower, you know. And now I'm at the place where, God, I don't dare trust myself anymore. And that's where the place where the Lord can manifest his life through us, because we're getting out of the way now. Is that making sense? See, we're more full of ourselves than we realize at times, right? Yeah. I have to face myself too and say, God, you know, I mean, every day I'm struggling sometimes with the flesh that wants to do its own thing. And I'm just learning every day just to have to die daily and just say no. No to me, yes to God. No to me, yes to God. And you starve out that part of you. And the more you say yes to God, the stronger you become in God, to where now you have life and peace in your mind is not being tormented anymore. Because to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. So what we're, if you will, what we're striving for is to enter into rest. Strive to enter into rest. And that's something. So when I find myself fearful, when I find myself anxious, I know that I'm not in rest. I'm not where I should be. So in desperation, I begin to worship the Lord in spirit, in my spirit. Deep cries unto deep, till I enter into the water spouts of his presence, and he refreshes me and he lifts me up into the heavenly realms with him. We're already there positionally, but the mind is struggling, and it has to come under submission to that reality. And when it does, then it's also at peace, it's at rest. Peace of mind as well. So God is the answer for our needs, you know. Remember that song, I think it came out in the 70s. I wasn't born again until in the 80s, but it says, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. Well, that's simply true. That is the simple truth. Jesus is the answer. What are you facing? What are you struggling with? What are you having trouble believing? Jesus is the answer. It's in Christ. Everything that we have need of is in him. He has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him, through the discovery of him, through having the revelation of God. I come to know who he really is and not what my thinking or what my own thoughts were saying for so many years. Because we've all had that concept, you know, of God, and usually based upon our own experience. You know, everybody has an opinion of God. I've had mine. And then I'm beginning to learn what God, who he really is by the revelation of the Spirit. Job had the same encounter, didn't he? When he went through his dark night of the soul and didn't know what was going on in the spirit realm. All he knew, he was miserable and broken and lost everything that was dear to him. And even his wife was telling him to curse God and die. And then he had in his mind, I mean, Job was doing all he knew to do that was right in his own ability and in his own strength to be able to believe God, to live a righteous life. Even God is saying, look at my servant Job. Look how well he's doing. In his own efforts, he was doing quite well. From all appearances, he was quite a Christian, you know. I mean, you know that people can act like, come on, but not necessarily be that. Some people are better at it than others. But God wanted Job to have a real revelation of himself. And he said, I have heard of you in the hearing of my ear, but now I've seen the Lord. And what did he say? He says, I'm a mess. I loathe myself, you know. And what, in sackcloth and ashes? And he said, man, I'm it was like Isaiah when he saw the Lord, you know. It was like, man, I thought, you know, you ask people, do you know God? Oh, yeah, I know God. Well, get another glimpse, you know. And then we'll say, wow. And, you know, I've said this before, but the gap that's there, the recognition that we're not where we know we should be and we want to be, is not a bad thing. Because if it's not there, then there would be no heart to go and pursue God and to know Him and to be changed. Because really, it is the Lord, it is the revelation of God that transforms us. Amen? The more that we really get to know who He is by revelation of the Spirit to us, the more that we really know who He is. But God is the answer to our needs. And I wanted to take us to 2 Chronicles tonight, Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You know, we get into places where we're comfortable, we're confident about our, you know, how we're doing. You know, you can ask people, oh, how's it going for you, man? How's your walk? And you can just say, wow, my walk is just great, man. Me and Jesus are tight. Things are going well. We're on top of the mountain now, you know. And it's easy when you're on the mountain, you know, to come up and slap somebody else on the back and say, hey, just get with it, brother. All you got to do is believe and have faith. Just trust. So there's those times when we have, a lot of times it's just self-confidence, you know. We feel perfectly capable of handling the situation, the problem. But then there's those other times when we realize this thing is beyond me. It's more than I can deal with, more than I can handle. But that's where God comes through. And that's where God reveals Himself to us, in those places where we're no longer trusting in ourselves. You know what I'm saying? As long as we're trusting in us, you can't be trusting in God. So God's weaning us off dependence upon ourselves so that we'll get into His rest and have life and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It is a life of joy. There are sorrows, of course. As we walk with Jesus, we will see, you know, we will suffer with Jesus as well, but there will also be that overriding joy. That joy that will sustain you, that will lift you up above it all. It's there. It's available to us. God will give you that joy when you need it. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And you know, often we're going to go into this here in just a bit, but through the thanksgiving. In all things, give thanks. So even when it's not going well, even when you're having difficult times, in all things, give thanks. Why? Because thanksgiving, according to Psalms 100, is the password into His presence. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving. Always with thanksgiving. So even when you're going through a hard time, it's not a time to grumble. Instead, it's a time to give thanks. Because that is the opening door for us to transition from the place where we're at to where God wants us to be. Thanksgiving produces authentic praise. Authentic praise does what? Authentic praise, well, brings His presence. We enter His presence into the place, the realm of praise. And in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. Amen. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. So it all comes back to the same common denominator. I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but it's Christ. Amen? It's in Him where we live and we move. We have our being in Him. Our life is in Him now. For we have died and our life is now hidden with Christ in God. So, let's look at this. Chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles, verse 1. Now, Israel was constantly at war. There was very few times where Israel had rest from war. And as you know, it's no mystery, but we're in war today, the church. But we can learn something from the past. And there are lessons that we can learn from what was before. The testimonies of what were written then can be ours now, today. So we have an example of the course that God's people should take. when natural reasoning says defeat is inevitable. My reasoning gets me in trouble. My reasoning takes me into places I don't really want to be. Takes me into doubt. Doubt is a place where we're really in sin, isn't it? You can't have faith and doubt operating simultaneously. And so God wants us to be in faith and a full confidence, trust in Him, that what He promises, He will do. So let's look at this. It happened after this that the people of Moab and the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are an Hazazon Tamar." I think that's right. Now, usually we experience adversities when everything has been going well and we're at a place of peace or rest. Often when we are in a place where everything is going well in our lives, we have a tendency to go fall back under self-confidence and self-reliance and everything's going my way, you know, happy land. And that's the devil waits for that. He waits for us to get into self-confidence and then he hits you in that place. And there's always an answer. And we're going to struggle with this. It's just that there's this other part of you that's always tearing and trying to get you to go back into it. Old patterns of thinking, we have to demolish. We have to bring down those strongholds, you know, that way of thinking that it does not agree with the reality that is in Christ, who I am now in my identity as a new creation. All that thinking that is still a residual from the slavery that I used to live under and that which I was born into through Adam, you know, God is renewing my mind through the revelation of Himself, and I'm being changed from glory to glory into His likeness. And so because we're in this war, we have to be in a constant state of readiness. And when things are easy, it's easy to forget. And the enemy often will attack when they know that the army's at rest. If the enemy is asleep in the middle of the night, for example, and their guard is down and they haven't had any problems, everything seems to be okay, and they have a sneak attack. The enemy likes to sneak attack us, you know. So we have to always have this in our mind that, you know, God is telling me to be vigilant, to be sober, right? To be vigilant because of our adversary, the devil. And he's looking for ways to get in. And so he likes to lull us to sleep. He likes to give us a false sense of security. And that security is false when it's focused on me. When I'm basing it upon my ability or my performance, it's actually a false sense of security. So God has to, when He does, He allows things to happen so that we are brought to attention, so that we don't continue to go down that path. And it causes us to restore our relationship or be recalibrated in the right place with God again. Does that make sense? Sometimes we get out of calibration. God has to bring us back into calibration again. Why? So the life of Christ can be manifested through us. Because you and I, we don't want to present us to the world. We want to present Christ. Amen. We want Him to be famous. We want Him to be seen. So Jehoshaphat is freaking out here because they said this great multitude is coming against you. In verse 2, from beyond the sea. Verse 3, it says he feared. But what did he do? He set himself to seek the Lord. Proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. See, sometimes people, when they get scared or they get afraid, they just try to get stoned or high or drunk or keep the music playing all night long or the lights on or whatever. They don't, you know, they don't get into rest with God. They're looking for artificial means or an artificial security blanket to set themselves under. And God said, I want to be your security. Amen. I want to be your strong tower. I want to be that secret place where you can come and you can find refuge in. So Judah gathered together in verse 4. What do they do? Gather together. Very important. Is it important that we gather together, that we work together, that we help each other as a body, ministers one member to the next? Right? If you're not connected to the body, you're not going to be any help. And you're not going to receive sometimes the help you need, because God designed us that way, that we would need the body, amen, to receive the nourishment that each one supplies. So they gathered together and they asked the Lord, you know, for help, which is a good idea, would you agree? And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So we know that there can be a positive effect for fear. Fear doesn't have to be a bad thing. It can actually have a positive effect on us. For example, if I'm scared, or if I have something happen that freaks me out, or, you know, if I'm wise, I'm going to turn to the Lord. That's a positive thing. Anytime we're turning to the Lord, would you agree? It's a positive thing, because that's where the grace is. It's not in me, but it's in Him. It's not in my performance, but in God's ability. So Jehoshaphat did the right thing. He called them the name of the Lord. And it was the adversity that brought the people together to seek the Lord. You know, I don't believe that Jehoshaphat waited until this crisis, you know, to seek the Lord. I believe that Jehoshaphat, just based upon his reaction to the situation, was a man that walked with God. And he knew what to do. We're having enemies come against us here. I know what we need to do. We need to come together. We need to call on God. We need to seek Him. And so today, you know, I think what we're seeing is very obvious in America even. There is an effort to disconnect us from our roots. You know, the devil likes to rewrite history. He doesn't want the truth about what happened then to be known today. Why? Because there is power in the testimony. There is the same anointing, the same grace, and what God did back then available for us today. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And that's why they were to remember Passover. Amen? They were to remember what God did for them. Have you ever encouraged yourself in the now from what God has done in the past? We should. That's the power of a testimony. When you testify, somebody hears what God did for you. And it brings that same anointing into your now to be released into their lives if they have faith to receive it. That's why sometimes even testifying about healing, people can receive a healing. And all you were doing is telling them about it. You can tell them about what Jesus did for them, amen, on the cross. And faith. Because it's through the message. The preaching of the message, amen. God saves the lost. What Jesus did then can happen today if we will testify to the grace of God. Amen. So that's exactly what Jehoshaphat did here. He began to remind, in the sense, he was really reminding himself, but he was in his prayer. Have you ever done that? You kind of, God, do you remember this and remember that? And, you know, God doesn't have a poor memory, amen? But it's for our benefit that we have to recall, we have to remember those things, those times, those encounters along the way. Yeah, sometimes we were full of that, but other times it was very much a God thing that was going on in our lives. Hear me. Because it's just mixed with us. But it's still the life of God that's there. God working with us, changing us, preparing us, making us beautiful for eternity. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad He's patient with us? He doesn't throw us away when we fail. We're His called ones, called out. In verse 5, Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the nations of the nation, kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? and they dwell in it, and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And so at that time, they had the literal temple. Amen. And they knew that the Shekinah glory of God dwelt there between the cherubim and the innermost sanctum of that. But they had to understand also that the time was coming, and they didn't understand at that time until today. We can understand that you and I now have the privilege of being God's house, that God dwells in us. We are the temple, right, of the Holy Spirit. So at that time, they would inquire from the temple. They would face the temple and they would pray to God. And now in verse 10, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, the enemies whom you would not let Israel invade. Isn't it interesting that God didn't let them invade these very enemies that now are coming against them? God does everything with purpose, you know. When they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, God, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we know what to do. Oh, good place to be. Amen. When we're done with our own thinking, we're done with our own wisdom, our own cleverness. How many times have we thought ourselves through something, got ourselves deeper into it? You know, we reasoned something out, and we hadn't really acknowledged God, but we just kind of used our own natural understanding to try to reason something out. And all it did is got us deeper into a hole. And so here they are. They're humbled now. They're saying, God, we don't know. You know, we can't overcome this. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. So he's remembering God's promise to Abraham here. This is the power of the testimony. Today, again, they're trying to get us to forget even our roots in America. Not that we've been a perfect nation, but I mean, most of the people live by godly principles, at least. And I was even told, and I'm not going to tell you when I was born, but it wasn't in the 50s. Some of you were born in the 50s. Some of you remember that, right? But I've heard people, you know, that have said, you know, it's like, you know, even the people, the heathen, the people that didn't know God, at least they lived, most of them lived by godly principles. Why? Because of the influence of the church. What's happened to America is the church has lost its savor. Where's the influence? Where is the manifestation of Christ in the church today? I have to ask the same question. Am I a diffuser? Am I a sweet fragrance? Am I going into stinky places and sweetening it up? Or am I just muddying it even more? Well, I want to be a world changer. Amen. I want to be God's vessel that he uses to bring in his kingdom, to manifest his fragrance in every place, to destroy the works of the devil, and to prepare a people. Amen. By the grace of the Holy Spirit, to get them ready for his coming. So the devil likes to rewrite history. That's what he's doing in America. He's trying to go back and say, well, that didn't really happen. We're going to have to rewrite that because we don't really like the way that's worded there. And isn't it unfortunate? Because if we forget where we came from, we won't be able to find where we're supposed to go. Sometimes you need to go back to that old landmark. You got to go back to that place where it all began. It's called your first love. Return, go back and say, God, where did it begin and where did I get off? Where did it begin to go south? Get back into that place again. Recalibrate again your life. So we can learn from the defeat and the victories of others from the past. Amen. It came before us. And we have to be willing to acknowledge our need. You know, I sometimes run into people who they come and they ask for for counsel, and they say, well, I'm having this issue or this problem, and I'm praying. I say, God, I don't know what to tell them except whatever you give me. And sometimes the Lord will download something, and I'll tell them exactly. I knew the Lord spoke to me, and I'll tell them what the Lord said. But then come to find out, they didn't really want to hear. What they were looking for is somebody to agree with them. And so we got to be careful about that. Isn't it true? Even when it comes to theology, sometimes, you know, we're not even listening to people anymore. And they come to us and they want to share something with us or share their heart, or their perspective. We're just ready to rip back at them, you know, with an answer before we've even heard them. Isn't that right? There's a proverb that talks about that, about answering a matter before you heard it. We want to hear, because you can't help anybody unless you're willing to listen. And then ask the Holy Spirit to help you, to help them. There's been times, folks, I'll be honest, I've wanted to justify my own position about things. Why? Because I'm too full of myself. I get proud. And I don't want anybody to think that I may not have an answer about this, or I may be incorrect about something. But if we have a haughty attitude, then we can't receive grace and grow. Amen? If we think that we've arrived and we've got it all figured out, that's when you stop. You're stunted in your growth. And the enemy wants to get you into that place. So God will just allow us to go. You know, it's like Peter. He said, Peter, I'm prayed that your faith wouldn't fail. But he didn't say, oh, no, Peter, don't do it. Don't do it. He just said, okay, Peter, if that's what you want, I guess that's the only way you're going to have to learn. You know, that you don't have what it takes to do what I'm calling you to do. Because it's not going to be by might nor power, but by my Spirit. And so, again, Jehoshaphat knew, you know, this evil would come against Israel. Because you look at verse 9, he says, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction. And what did he say? And you will hear and save. So what is he doing? He's saying to God that, God, I believe, I have faith, that if I call out to you, you will hear. Not only will you hear, but you'll save. You'll rescue me. I mean, you know, it's not always sin or the lack of faith that brings adversity. You know, sometimes we think if somebody's going through a hard time, well, they must have sinned. There must be something, you know. Sometimes it's obedience. Just being obedient will bring adversity. But if we're not having any kind of adversity in our lives, then we need to question our walk. Would you agree? Because we're in a war. And if we're messing up the enemy, he's not going to be happy about it. So we have to expect adversity. The good news is that God is with us and God is for us, and greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. Even when God doesn't move when and how we expect, his timing is always perfect. How many times I've thought, God, why didn't you do this? But we all can testify to the times that God has come through. And sometimes we've had to wait, and it's been the midnight hour, and we're just saying, I don't know if I can take this anymore. And God, then God, you know, I was there all along. I was there. I never left you. I told you I wouldn't. And what do I have to believe? I have to believe what God says, not how I feel. I tell you what, there's times when I feel so far away. I feel that God is far away from me, but he's not. The truth is he's not. See, God doesn't want us to depend on our feelings either. Sometimes there are benefits of good feelings that we get in his presence, but sometimes not. It doesn't change anything. We're not led by those things. We're led by the truth. The truth is our guide. What God says is a promise to us. We can live by that. We can trust him. His word is good. And so look at verse 10. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. And so now we have verse 21. Let's look at this. This is the results of their prayer. And it turned into faith and praise to God. Verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should, what? Praise. So in a situation where it was dark, it looked futile, it looked like there was going to be no way out of this. They had no idea what was going to happen. What did he tell them to do? He said that they should do what? Praise. The beauty of holiness. Praise the Lord. As they went out before the army and were saying, what? Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. How many know what a sacrifice of praise is? That's when you praise God. You're not feeling it. You're not seeing it. But you praise him anyways. You give thanks in what? All things give thanks. Huge, huge. If we miss the Thanksgiving part, it can keep you bottled up in that situation longer than you need to be. Sometimes it's tough to say, but you know, folks, that's when we have to go back and say, God, thank you. You brought me this far. You've been with me. I don't understand what's going on, but you've been with me all along. You never left me. And I don't understand what's going on right now, but I'm going to give you thanks because I know that you promised to work all things together. Romans 8:28, right? All things together for the good to them that love the Lord. Huh? I believe that, folks. I believe that's true. Why? Because I believe this book. I believe this was inspired. Amen. God wrote this through man. Holy men of God were moved by the Spirit. And so when they begin to praise, what happened? The Lord sent ambushes. The Lord intervened. Now, they had to put their confidence in God because praise keeps us focused on God's goodness, his greatness, his sovereignty. And also, praise produces faith of the heart. Why? Because when you're praising God and he inhabits the praises, it begins to just shift things inside internally. And sometimes it doesn't happen right away. Sometimes it is a travail, a time of travail, until there is a breakthrough. But faith says that I'm going to believe until I see. I'm going to claim what God promised until it becomes tangible. I'm going to claim what God promised until it becomes tangible. And then once again, not what I want to claim, but what God has given clearly as a promise. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is that a promise? So I'm going to claim that. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to thank him. I'm going to receive that. And I'm going to repeat that because it is his promise to me. It's an eternal word. Amen? And also, again, praise helps us maintain that attitude of gratitude, that thanksgiving. Because none of us can boast in our own ability before God. You know? Well, I did this and I did that and look what God did with me here and there. And, you know, well, yeah, he did with you, you know, but you didn't do it, really. You did it together with Jesus, amen? And if it wasn't for the fact that you were yoked up with him, you could accomplish nothing. Jesus said, apart from me, what? Zero. Enemies of God are what? Defeated by faith. It's the same principle, folks, that they practiced here. He reminded, amen, the Lord, and was reminding himself of God's faithfulness, of his promise to Abraham. Amen? He'd make him a mighty nation, father of a multitude. And they were his people. And as God had delivered them out of Egypt and was going to bring them in, amen, to a land, God had been with them all along. But they had to remind themselves even when they were in the wilderness. And this is the problem, is they began to forget what the Lord had showed them and what he had promised them. That's where we get into trouble, isn't it? There's an old song we used to sing. I love it. I repeat it sometimes. But it's, Lord, take me back to that old landmark where I make a new commitment and begin a fresh start. Help me find my direction. Put a burden in my heart. Lord, take me back to that old landmark. Take me back to that place of my first love. My heart was ablaze with holy passion. Amen? It had to be holy passion because I didn't have any passion for God. I didn't have any desire for God until His Spirit came, and that was the manifestation of His grace, that I have a passion for God. That's got to be God. It's not me. Amen? That's God. Sometimes we get things clouded and, you know, and it's, is that me or is that God? How many know that the natural me doesn't care about God, doesn't want anything to do with God? Can't understand the things of God, their foolishness. Is God working in our lives? Is He not working in our lives? Is He not revealing Himself in His ways? And you know another thing, folks, is God is teaching me, again, to find rest in Him, even if I don't have the answers. It doesn't matter. Amen? If I don't understand, it doesn't matter. I trust. I trust His heart. When I can't figure it out, I trust His heart. God is truly good. Ask that old devil that tells you, oh, God's not good. He's holding out on you, Eve. You know? Can't be trusted. You better listen to me. He ain't going to come through. He ain't going to make provision for you. But that's a promise. I have to believe. So the people of God, they sought the Lord. In verse 23, as they begin to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against them. Verse 22. And then in verse 23, for the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy what? One another. So what was the result of praise? It brought confusion on the enemy and overcame. See, Jesus wants to inhabit us and He wants to overcome those things that are opposing us. Not me trying to overcome them, but He, by His grace, to overcome those things that are opposing me. It's all of Him. It's all of grace and not of works or of effort of my on my part. All my effort is to agree with the Holy Spirit. Amen? If He says, pray, pray. If He says, you know, lay hands, lay hands. If He says, say, say. If He says, go, go. That's my part, is to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. But it's God that's going to do the work of transformation in me and in others. So what we want to do is we want to be connected to God so the life of God will flow out of us and touch the spirit of others. And so when we speak the gospel of what Jesus did for us way back 2,000 plus years now, it brings into the moment of now that same grace that is able to save those who hear. Are you hearing that? By the same Spirit, amen, that raised Christ from the dead, that dwells within you and me. Hallelujah. And so the weak confounded the mighty by the hand of God. Isn't that something? Hallelujah. You know, folks, I see people that have the most, I say, the power or the greatest manifestation of grace are the people who are weak in themselves. The people who are not confident in themselves. are the people that will manifest the most grace. Amen? Otherwise, we're in the way. So it's all good. If I'm saying, oh, God, I can't do this, great. You're right where I want you to be. You're in a position now where I can trust you. You're not going to get in the way of what I want to accomplish through you. And as we draw near out of a desperate heart in the fear of the Lord, saying, God, I don't want to make a mess of this, and I can't speak correctly, I can't help anybody correctly, it's got to be you helping and working with me and through me. Amen? When we're in that place of a desperate heart, that's when the grace of God is manifested. The battle is the Lord. You know, in the natural, the Lord says, I'm going to take care of this one for you. Israel had to fight some battles, amen? And unfortunately, America is getting into a place now where we may have to fight battles without God. You know? And some men trust in horses and chariots, you know? And you can, if you look at the news, don't spend too much time there, but if you do, you see where everybody's comparing us to China and to Russia and to North Korea and Iran and all this stuff that's going on, and they're trying to drum up another war because, you know, there's money to be made at the cost of lives. But all this junk that's going on right now, there's these comparisons, you know, that go on. I don't know where I was going with that, but I thought I'd bring that up. But the battle is the Lord's. And sometimes, you know, if America would turn back to God, we would have God's favor, you know. You know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, not the people that don't know God, but the people who do know God, if they would humble themselves and pray, that's us, and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways. And so what I see happening, folks, is that God is, you know, lifting His hand off America. Now, we're still going to have a military, but we're going to have to fight without God, and that's not going to be good. Are you hearing me? We need God. Amen? And we also need to have a just cause if we ever do go to war, of course. But in this situation, God fought for Israel. Amen? He says, you're not going to have to fight in this battle. He's specific. In this battle, I'm going to take care of it for you. There are things that we do in this world that we just need to do. Amen? We need to get up. We need to go to work. We have responsibilities. We just do things. But then there are these things that come against us, the enemies of God, you know, the adversary, and things that we experience in life where God has to come in and He has to intervene in that situation. Amen? And He has to war and battle on our behalf because we cannot handle it in our own strength, in our own wisdom, our own cleverness. And again, back to Proverbs 3:5-7, it is, in all your ways acknowledge Him. So this is the safety, is saying, God, what do you say? I feel like doing this, but what do you say? I don't want to make any more emotional decisions, even when it comes to things of God. Amen. I want to know that God is speaking. I'm living by the word, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, because faith comes by hearing. And that word means the revelation that the Spirit is speaking to you. Amen. Not just pulling some random scripture out and saying, well, I'm going to name and claim this for this situation. Come on. God's sovereign. God has a plan. We've got to get in agreement with His plan. And if we discover His plan and we get into agreement, it will happen. It absolutely will happen. So whatever you're struggling with today, Jesus is the answer, isn't He? Do you believe God is able to give you victory in every area of your life? Do we believe that? God is able to give us victory in every area of our lives. Yeah. It's really a battle of faith, isn't it? It's a matter of trust, of belief. So I cannot allow my situation, my circumstances, to tell me how it's supposed to go. My God is the one who is to tell me how it's supposed to go. And if God is with me, and He's for me, then who can be against me? Do we believe that God is for us? He's really for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your truth, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping me. God, we want to be led of your Spirit. We want to hear your voice, Lord. Your sheep hear your voice. Lord, we want the revelation of you. We want to know you, Jesus. God, we don't want to just learn about you. We really want to know you, Lord. Take us to that place where we have full confidence, where we learn the lesson that Israel failed to learn in the wilderness, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God, give us ears to hear. Deliver us from ourselves. Deliver us from our ways, Lord. And lead us in your paths of righteousness for your name's sake, Lord. Because we want to honor you, God. We want to finish well. We want to finish strong in you. We want to finish our course with joy, Lord. And we want to know that as you were in this world, so are we. So change us, Lord. Change our hearts. Change our minds. Make us like you, Lord. Transform us into your glorious image. We might reflect your glory, that we might diffuse your life, your sweet fragrance in every place, Lord.